So here we are, the Shabbat after Thanksgiving. And, you know, as we look into the portion this week and we see more of the story. Excuse me, it's just not going to sound right today coming out of my voice. But make believe I have this beautiful singing voice. We hear more of the story of Isaac. And the reality is, there's just not that much within Scripture about Isaac. In fact, he's just kind of there. Every time we hear about him, it's just like he has this, when compared to the others in Scripture, the other men in Scripture, he doesn't have a lot to offer. In fact, when we look at leading men in Scripture, we see how much less. I went and looked and to see how often names are mentioned in Scripture. So first, we have Yeshua. Well, you know Yeshua is going to be mentioned a lot. So he's mentioned 1,310 times. Well, who else would you want mentioned more than him? Okay, next, Moses. 803 times Moses' name is mentioned in Scripture. Next, Jacob. Jacob's name is mentioned 363 times. Aaron, the brother of Moses, 342 times in Scripture. Abraham, 294 times. Now, I would have thought Father Abraham would be a little bit higher, but okay, 294 times. And Joseph, 240 times. His name is mentioned. So, here's six mighty men of God. And then we have Isaac. And where do you think Isaac is on this list? Is he towards the top? He towards the middle? Towards the bottom? He's 128 times. Just 128 times is Isaac mentioned. It's as if when we mention Isaac or we read something about Isaac, it's really, oh yeah, he was there too. You know, he has a place in Scripture. But it's almost always that when we name Isaac or we use his name, it's connected with something else or someone else. At his birth, it's really about Abraham and Sarah and being old and laughing at Adonai's promises and then having it happen. And then looking at him growing up, it's Ishmael teasing him and being sent away with Hagar. And then the binding of Isaac, it has his name in it. But it's really all about Abraham and what he does during this time. And then we have him going out and getting married, but what is it? It's really about Abraham sending his servant Eliezer and everything that happened to Eliezer, but hardly anything about Isaac. And then even when Jacob gets blessed instead of Isaac, it's just this poor, old, blind man who hardly knows what he's doing that we see. Now, the one thing we can say about Isaac's life is he actually lived longer than any of the patriarchs. He also is the only one who never left the land he was born in. And when we read about his death, this is what we read in Genesis 35:27. Then Jacob came to his father Isaac at Mount Mamre, at memory of Kiriath Abar, that's Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac had stayed. Now, Isaac's days were 180 years. Then Isaac breathed his last and died and was gathered to his people, old and full of days. So his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. Even in death, it's connected to something else or someone else. We read that it happened when Jacob came back with his family. And then he dies a very quiet death. No blessings for the sons that he had. No big funeral. Just a very quiet death. Seems when we look at the life of Isaac, he, comparatively, at least, he was an unremarkable man. I could even imagine that he could have thought of himself as an unrecognized person, living while he was just kind of floating through life, unlike those before or after him. And for some people today, this is how they can see their life as well. Some think their lives are unremarkable, uneventful, especially when compared to others around them. And it's made even worse today with social media. Every time you look, you know, there's someone else saying, look what I've done. Look what I did. Look over here. Look over here. And here is the person. Here we are just scrolling through other people's lives instead of our own. We're thinking, look what they did, doing so much more than I've done. And then although it does matter what other people think, it only matters because it affects the way you think. Because it really shouldn't matter what they think. It shouldn't matter what they do. It's what you think and what you do. We can at times look at ourselves in an incorrect way, just as the Israelites did when they were about to enter the promised land. Remember what they thought of themselves as being seen through the eyes of the 10 spies, giving the bad report to them? We see this in Numbers 13, starting in 32. They spread among B'nai Israel a bad report about the land that they explored, saying, the land through which we pass to explore devours its residents. All the people we saw were men of great size. We also saw the Nephilim there. The sons of Anak are the Nephilim. We seem like grasshoppers in our eyes as well as theirs. They thought they seemed as grasshoppers. Honey, you're going to have to, Remsen, honey, you're going to have to forward it for me. Apparently, it's not working anymore. Of course, they were not grasshoppers. They should have been warriors of Adonai's, ready to go in and take a new land. But not in their own eyes. They were not, and therefore they cannot do the things that Adonai had destined for them. They could not enter into the promised land. They could not go forward, but they were turned back, and that whole generation died in the desert. This is not what Adonai wants for us. Looking down on ourselves and thinking that we're nothing special, thinking that we're unappreciated by others, and even worse, by ourselves. Because with everything that comes against us in life, it's just so easy to think of ourselves as nothing and smaller than a grasshopper. People could look and say, but what did I do Did I do anything of worth? And I want to say to each and every one of us today that when we have the Ruach within us, and I know each and every one of you here today do, there is greatness within you. Whether you recognize it or not, what you do has great worth to Adonai. So if you're doing small things in life, then do the thing that you think of as small in a way that brings glory to Adonai. This is what we're called to do in Colossians. Colossians 3:23. Let me try again. Okay. Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, work at it from the soul, as for the Lord and not for people. For you know that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as a reward. It is to the Lord Messiah you are giving service. When you're aligned with Adonai and you do the instructions of Torah, then nothing else is expected of you. In fact, when Shaul wrote that portion of the letter to the Colossians, he was writing it to the readers who were slaves to other people. But the point was, regardless where you are in your life, what you are doing should be for Adonai. Don't do for others. Don't even do for yourself. Do it for God who created you. Do it for His glory, knowing that you will get an inheritance that is an eternal reward for a life well lived. Now, a life well lived is not a life that's accumulated a lot of stuff, but it's a life that lived as Messiah lived, following the instructions of Tanakh, which is glorifying the Lord and helping others. This is the call that we have, because regardless of whether we are where we are in this life or what we've become, we are called to do what is found in 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. We urge you, brothers and sisters, correct the unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one repays evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good for one another and for all. Rejoice always, pray constantly, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Messiah Yeshua. Here are the instructions for each and every one of us to live by. Help others who are not living by the instructions of Adonai. Here they're called the unruly, and we are to correct them in a loving way. We're to be patient and help other people, and perhaps above all, rejoice. Rejoice in Him. Pray. Pray to Him. Give thanks. Give thanks to Him who gives us all that we have and all that we need. The instruction is for everyone, regardless of who you are or where you are or even what you think of yourself. It doesn't stipulate that once you've accomplished this certain thing, once you've made it to this level in life, then you're to start these things. No, it says do them and do them now, not later. You may even say to yourself, but who am I to do anything? You are who you were meant to be if you're following Messiah Yeshua. And if you think you're not, then it's not too late to start by changing your thinking as long as you have breath in your life, breath in your body. You can still change who you are to please Adonai. The reason that most people think poorly of themselves is because of the way that they look at themselves and not because of who they are or what they do. I can guarantee that if someone sees themselves poorly, it's because they're not looking with spiritual eyes. And that's the way that Adonai looks at you, through spiritual eyes. Look what it says in 1 Samuel about how Adonai looks at us and our and the way we are. 1 Samuel 16:7. But Adonai said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or his stature, because I have already refused him. He does not see a man as men see. For man looks at the outward appearance, but Adonai looks to the heart." Adonai doesn't care what your hair looks like, or even if you have hair, and how tall you are. He doesn't care what your nose looks like. But what he sees first and only is the heart. He sees the heart and the fruit that comes out of what the heart does. The instructions of Adonai throughout the Tanakh are not what to do to make yourself look better. They're not about your appearances, but what to do with your heart that you have. The actions and the interactions that you have with him and with others. The emphasis is not on the number of things done, but on the quality of what you give to others. In Ephesians 2, we're told this, Ephesians 2:10. It is not based on deeds, so that one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Messiah Yeshua for good deeds, which God prepared beforehand so we might walk in them. Not based on deeds or the amount, but the goodness that you put into the deeds. We are called his workmanship, which is not judged by quality, by quantity, but by quality. A single finely made song of praise is better than a dozen songs about the world that are sung by other people. Our lives are to be lived in the same way. We are made to be fine workmanship, not to be marred by our own actions or judged as either great or small. He sees all and knows all. And not only that, but has ensured you that you have all that you need and will bless you regardless of your social status. But instead, based on your status with him. Look at Zechariah 3. Which is a messianic prophetic passage, but it also gives us a glimpse of his love for us as well. Zechariah 3, 1 starts there. Then he showed me Joshua, the Kohen Gadol, standing before the angel of Adonai and the Satan, standing at his right hand to accuse him. Adonai said to the Satan, "Adonai rebukes you," the Satan. "Indeed, Adonai, who has chosen Jerusalem, rebukes you. Is not this man a brand plucked out of the fire?" Now Joshua was wearing filthy garments and standing before the angel who answered and spoke to those before him, saying, "Remove the filthy garments from him." Then to Joshua he said, "See, I have removed your iniquity from you and will dress you in fine clothing." Joshua represents Israel. And we also see this as a confirmation in Revelation 19, where it's played out. So Revelation 19, starting in 6. "Then I heard something like a voice of a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, or like the rumbling of powerful thunder, saying, 'Hallelujah! For Adonai Elohi Tisvaot reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and the bride has made herself ready. She is given fine linen to wear, bright and clean. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the Keshedim." We see that the bride was given the fine garments. She is Joshua, whose filthy garments were swapped out. And who is Israel? But those who align themselves with Adonai. God is, and the good news is that there is no mention of worthiness by appearance. Instead, Adonai loves all who stand with him. Regardless of what you think your value is to him, it's even greater than you think. Yeshua says this in Luke 12, starting in verse 6. Aren't five sparrows being sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten before God. Indeed, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. Now I tell you, whoever acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man also will acknowledge him before the angels of God. You are worth more than the sparrows that are never out of the eyesight of God, and he will acknowledge you. How does God acknowledge you in the end? He gives you garments that are worthy of being before him. We can't make these garments, not by our hands, not by our deeds. They can only be given to us by the one that we hope to stand before for all eternity. For those who think that they're unrecognized or unappreciated or unheard of by other people or by God, know that God does see. God does know. God knows your worth and hears your prayers and will answer them. Remember what we're told in John, 1 John 5:14. Now this is the confidence we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the request we have asked from him. Why should we have the confidence that John encourages us to have? Because as a creation of God's, you will never be out of his sight or out of his love. Think about what we're told in Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4:12, "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing right through to a separation of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. No creature is hidden from him, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." So many people look at that passage and they think of it in the negative, that God sees all the wrong things I do. I stand naked before God and he sees everything. Woe is me. But that's not the case. At least I don't think that's what's important to Adonai. Because of his love, he watches over us. With his love, he will reward us for living a life well lived for him. Regardless who we are, he watches over us. And if our hearts are right, if our efforts to live for him are right, then based on that account, he will see and he will send his blessing. No one can hide, not the bad things and not the good things. Our account with him can either be overdrawn, which means in the negative because we have a poor heart attitude, or it can be overflowing because of our good heart attitude. And the choice is actually ours to make. But know this, regardless of your choice that you make, he's there to see it. He knows your choice, the choice that you've made by your heart. And there's no hiding. There's no getting lost. God does not lose any one of those that he created. All of us, whether it be things or people, they don't fall through the cracks with Adonai. Now, unlike me, who I can't tell you how many times I have apologized for an email getting into the wrong file and not responding promptly, or a phone call that I forgot to return, he never lets that happen. He never loses a prayer made to him. There is no life hidden from him. So today, just as we are just after Thanksgiving, I encourage you to give thanks to Adonai. But also give thanks to yourself. Give thanks that you're living the life that Adonai wants you to. And if you're not, give thanks that there's still time to change. As long as there's breath in your lungs, you still have time to change. Give thanks that you're given the Ruach to counsel you, to help you, so that you have a life that you can live before Adonai rightly. And don't compare yourself to others, but compare yourself to what Adonai has for you, which is a hope and a future that goes on for all eternity. Compare yourself to the plan that he has for you. If the plan is for small things, that's okay. Do it for the glory of God. If the plan is for great things, great. Do it for the glory of God. Take a look at the life of Isaac, who seems to have so little to offer Adonai, but still was loved and still was used. We're to see a man who has a place in Scripture as a patriarch, a place in the plan of Adonai to bless the whole world. Because without him, then the generations to come would have been different. Messiah wouldn't have come through the line. We wouldn't come through the line. Take encouragement that Adonai can use each and every one of us for the great and for the small. Some for the great things and bless them. Some for the small things, but bless them as well. Some will be things that are seen by the whole world. Some, it's that they'll feel like even my spouse doesn't recognize what I'm doing. But that's okay. It doesn't matter. Adonai knows. Adonai sees. And that's who you're doing it for. Adonai acknowledges your love. Adonai acknowledges the word, the life you're living for him. And that's all he can expect from you. Living your life as he wants you to. As described through all of the Torah and Tanakh. As shown being lived out in Messiah's life. We're not to live Messiah's life. That's not our call. But we're to live a Messiah-like life. Being righteous because of him, Adonai. Walking in faith. Being helped by the Ruach, just as Yeshua was helped by the Ruach. That's what we're called to do. And if we do that, it'll be a great and fine call that is recognized by Adonai. Even if by nobody else, it'll be recognized by Adonai. And you will be rewarded. And I'll guarantee you the reward he has is greater than anything else that any person can give you. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you that you've given us instructions on how to walk. And then you've given us this life. Yes, this very life to walk it out. This very life to be blessed by you for walking it out. This life that, yes, the world comes against in order to try to stop us from walking it out. But by your grace and your mercies, you, and by the Ruach HaKodesh, you help us to walk it out. So we thank you and praise you. And everyone said, Amen and Amen.